set apart. We might just say holy. For to be holy means to be set apart. And in the text today, we're going to learn how God sets apart his people, both for his glory and for his service. And that's at the heart of what we read throughout our lessons today. In Exodus, God tells Moses, "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." In this setting, God is literally extending the covenant God made with Abram. That same people, that same chosen people, here are being told that they are blessed to be a blessing. And they are indeed being blessed. So Moses comes and he reminds them that they are a covenant people. Now freed from slavery in Egypt, they are God's holy set apart people. He says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. The power of God has been made evident to them." This isn't only a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith in the God who has acted and who has set his people free. It goes on, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples." The treasured, loved, cherished, valued possession of God as we live in the covenant that God establishes with us. It is a covenant. It is a relationship. And we must be mindful of the fact that God just doesn't forgive us to do whatever we want. He forgives us and brings us into his family, brings us into the relationship. He gives us a purpose with our freedom. And then there's this beautiful, beautiful Psalm 100. As we experience that freedom, as we experience that covenant, we hear these beautiful words from Psalm 100. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love, it endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." As we begin to think about this idea that we are set apart, it's really important that we understand for whom we are set apart and by whom we are set apart. It is by the sovereign God, the God who is good, the God who is faithful, the God who keeps his promises. Because there are times that the circumstances of our lives might cause us to doubt that. And there are certainly times when we look in the mirror and we think, "I can't do what God is asking me to do." So we remember, God is faithful. God provides the way. God has made us his holy, set-apart people in his love. And that is to bring the whole world to give him praise and to honor and acknowledge him. The beautiful word in Romans chapter 5, I think, accentuates this so powerfully. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Or to to use it as it repeats in Romans in verse 10. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Are we qualified to be the set apart people? Are we special enough? Are we good enough? Are we moral enough? Are we just enough? The answer is no, we certainly are not. Not by our actions, not by our deeds, not by our character. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God makes us his own. God of mercy, God of forgiveness, God of love. And as he makes us his own, then we begin to learn how he sends us out into the world to be his own. In that same love and mercy and grace that's been extended to us as we extend it to others. Jesus, in the gospel today, he calls the 12 disciples together and he advises them to pray. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Now, I can't help but wonder about the dynamics of this conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples, because several things happen. He calls them to pray. Will you please pray that God, the Lord of the harvest, will do this, that he will bring forth workers for the vineyard? And they're thinking, sure, we can pray for that. God will call someone and they'll go do it. It'll all be good. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He then says, and he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority. This is a big end, because now he's shifting. He's saying, not only do I want you to pray, but I'm going to give you authority to do it. You're going to pray, but in one regard, you're praying for yourself. You're the one I want to go. The harvest is plentiful. And now, with God having empowered you, with God now having authorized you, I want you to go. He gives them authority and power to demonstrate the love and the goodness of God. And he does it with specificity. It's easy when we're reading this to just kind of keep on reading and we know, okay, those are the names of the 12 disciples. Simon, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew. We just go through the list. We don't know who they are. We're just rattling off names, right? No. They specifically, chosen by Jesus, authorized and empowered by Jesus, are the ones he's going to send by name. It's also interesting that the vocabulary shifts. Instead now of being the disciples of Jesus, they're now referred to as the apostles. These 12 Jesus sent out as apostles. They are the sent ones. Because you see, that authority isn't just something internal. It's something that then they walk with, they are driven by, because as they go with the authority of God, they go to represent God to the world. When they go to preach and teach that the kingdom of God is at hand, they bring it with them. Here's the thing. I'm not just talking about the 12 disciples. I'm talking about you and me. That Jesus knows us by name. that Jesus authorizes us as his church, as he said in the Great Commission from last week's text, all authority has been given to me, you therefore go. You and I are also chosen ones. You and I are also authorized ones. You and I are also sent ones. For this is how the kingdom of God is brought into the world. It's in us. It's in the power that God works in us. It's not simply some metaphysical reality out there in the world. It's in and through the people of God. Now, I'm not suggesting that God is not where his people are. I'm suggesting that wherever his people are, God is. And we can count on that strength and power to stand with others, to lift others up, to speak words of grace and forgiveness, to be patient and yet strong. All of those realities are a gift of God for his people, for the world. For we are chosen and set apart for a purpose. And again, it's very much like the covenant of Abraham, that God chooses and sets us apart and empowers us and blesses us so that we can be a blessing, so that our lives bring glory to God in the world as they see and respond to our words and behavior. And remember, this isn't by our strength, because if it were, we would disqualify ourselves. This is by virtue of what God has chosen to do in and through his people. Chosen, authorized, instructed, and sent. So if you pay attention to those words in the gospel, you will remember that he didn't just send them, he sent them with instructions. This is what you are to do. This is to whom you shall go. So often we want to say, sure, I'll go serve Jesus where I want to serve. Sure, I'll go serve Jesus by doing what I want to do. But this isn't about what we want. It is about what God is calling us to. Sometimes those are extraordinary calls that are very, very difficult. Sometimes those are calls to go to other countries and serve as a missionary. Sometimes they're calls to serve within our own doors, in our own household, in our own workplace, in our own city and community. Within our own circle of influence, we are chosen, authorized, instructed, and sent. When you go into work, when you go into a school, when you go into your grocery store, do you think that you're there only because you chose to be there? Or do you recognize that God has gone ahead of you, that God will come behind you, and that God is in that moment so that you can represent him in that place through your life, through your character, through your words, through your actions? The kingdom of God is wherever God is in authority. And if God is in authority in your life, then the kingdom of God goes with you wherever you go. And so, pray and go. Let's not forget where we started. Jesus wasn't just setting them up by saying, pray for this. He honestly wanted them to pray. He wanted them to pray because he knew that in prayer, God can set our hearts. In prayer, God can give us perspective. And God hears and answers our prayer. He needs to know what our concerns are. When he says go, we go, whoa, I don't have any shoes. Whoa, it's too hot. I need water. Whatever the circumstances are, we start with prayer so that God can go ahead of us, so that God can prepare our hearts, so that God can prepare our way and the hearts of those that we will touch and be with. So along the way, God will provide blessing upon blessing, which reinforces our calling, which reinforces our lives and our faith and gives us the encouragement we need to keep moving forward, to give us partnership so that as the body of Christ, each individually gifted, we come together to use those gifts to impact our world, and our world needs our impact now. We as Christians need to bring a word of compassion, a word of grace, a word of understanding, a word of love and belonging. In all the circumstances we're facing in these days, we need God and we need each other. The isolation is depressing. It's discouraging. And at least in Tucson and Arizona in the last week where the testing has gone, more and more people testing positive for COVID-19, it's frightening. And then when we see the violence and the destruction that's happening in some of the protests, it causes us fear. And when we see the heartache and the fear that is in some of the protesters that are sharing their story and saying, this has got to stop. We need hope. We need to believe that God indeed holds the future. As we heard in our singing earlier, we have to trust that today will give us a hope for tomorrow because God is at work. And today in these texts, we're being reminded of something. God is at work through you and me. God is God. He is sovereign. And when he calls us and equips us, when he chooses us and empowers us and sends us, we must go. In his strength, in his encouragement, knowing that he's going to give us what we need along the way, knowing that even though we may feel disqualified by some of our past behavior or by some of our own uncertainty, he qualifies us, he calls us, he claims us in and through his Son. In Jesus, you and I are the children of God. In Jesus, you and I are discipleships, are disciples of Jesus. And in Jesus, you and I are the apostles, the sent ones. And so we are called to go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Not proclaim ourselves, not to set up ourselves as being better than others, or to say, here, come, be like us. But to go and proclaim in word and deed the authority and the power of God. To be present, to be faithful, to bring grace and forgiveness, to bring reconciliation and renewal. For we speak with God's authority when we say, you are forgiven. We speak with God's authority when we say, God loves you. We even speak with God's authority when we say, stop. That's wrong. We are representatives of God. To use the words from Corinthians, we are ambassadors of reconciliation. And so we can't just sit on the sideline. We can't just wallow in fear and uncertainty. We pray. We find strength. We find direction. We gather with those whom God has partnered us with in our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we go into the world to stand for the love and power and goodness of our God. God reigns. God is near. God's power is at work, and we live believing that truth while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. While there are sinners in the world. Christ died for them. And when we come, we need to come with open mouths, but with open arms, and with feet that will travel to where they are, and with hands extended to lift them up, or hands extended to stop the destructive behavior of injustice or destruction. We begin always, and we continue throughout with prayer, so that the presence and power of God goes with us and guides us and encourages us and allows us to do that which we could never do alone, because of the presence of His Spirit and the presence of His community, allowing us in the unity of the church to represent the goodness of God to the world.